Rusalka, the river nymph, pleading with the moon to tell the prince of her love for him. Dvorak's Song to the Moon, sung by the soprano Sumi Huang, and the German Radio Philharmonic Orchestra was conducted there by their chief conductor, Vasilis Christopoulos. And that brings Radio 3 in Concert to a close for tonight. I'm Ian Skelly. Do join me if you can next Sunday, when you can hear Bernard Haitink conducting a programme of French music by Francis Poulenc and by Ravel. All from 7:30 next Sunday, here on BBC Radio 3.
Manhattan in the late 1960s, home of the downtown art scene, where experimental music was made in lofts, not concert halls. There, a plumber-cum-taxi driver founded a group to perform his own music, the Philip Glass Ensemble. Philip Glass is now one of the most successful and influential composers of his generation, and to celebrate his 80th birthday, Radio 3 is broadcasting a whole night of minimalist works written for his ensemble in the 60s and 70s. Glass Night on BBC Radio 3 begins in the early hours of next Sunday morning at 1 a.m. and available afterwards on the Radio 3 website.
This is Radio 3, time now for Drama on 3. Jean Racine's play Andromache, first performed in 1667, is set a year after the fall of Troy in Epirus. As an introduction to tonight's play, the playwright Edward Kemp explains why he decided to give his new translation a more contemporary setting.
I think I'm lucky I never studied Racine's Andromache or any of his plays at school. Although this should be the perfect young person's play, the principal characters locked in a daisy chain of unrequited love. The austerity of Racine's style, even in French, is off-putting for many. He takes stories from the ancient world, tales livid with despair and desire, and strips everything away. Plot, characters, location, language, all reduced to what's essential. There are no similes, few metaphors, almost no stage action. He was, of course, a big influence on Samuel Beckett, and like Beckett, his peculiar and chillingly theatrical genius lies in the realisation that when a story is this big, you don't need to embroider, and that the simplest tools can open the heart of the drama. But to translate Racine into English is more than usually impossible. In this version, written originally for students at the Royal Academy of Dramatic Art, I attempted to follow his verse form, the 12-syllable rhyming Alexandrine. But even rhyme works differently in English, where it's often used to snap something closed or to sharpen comic effect. So many words rhyme and chime in French, the impression is more like the echoing resonance of bells. And in finding an equivalent, Stephen Sondheim and rap may be more helpful than Shakespeare. Racine was writing for an audience who were more immersed in Greek myth than we are, so a little backstory might be helpful. The play opens 1 year after the end of the Trojan War, that central catastrophe of the ancient world. For 10 years, the Greek nations, led by Agamemnon, laid siege to Troy, and the heroes of the ancient world clashed and died. 1 year on, we are in Epirus, a place so remote from the Greek centre of things it's almost in Albania, and we have moved on a generation. This is home to Pyrrhus, Achilles' son, to which he has brought both his fiancée Hermione, the daughter of Helen, and Andromache, Hector's widow. But Andromache is not alone. She has smuggled out her son, Astyanax, Hector's heir. And this is what brings a Greek delegation to Epirus, headed by Orestes, Agamemnon's son, Hermione's cousin and would-be lover. And so soon the shadows of war start to loom again. Translating to radio, I wanted to take advantage of this medium which persistently wires us into the world around us, to imagine these ancient characters in our own time, and to bring into the present one of the play's dominant questions. When a culture has endured a shattering event, the Trojan War, the Holocaust, 9/11, how can we move on? How do we ever manage to outgrow the sins and triumphs of our forebears? And if we can't, are we destined to repeat the same cataclysmic mistakes over and over again?
Andromache by Jean Racine, translated by Edward Kemp, with Joel McCormack as Orestes, and Tanya Moody as Andromache.
Safisa.
Madam?
Listen. Hear that? What's that noise?
Oh, the delegation's landed. Agamemnon's boys coming to see the king.
Orestes in Epirus.
With a delegation from the Creeks.
For what purpose?
The king's wedding.
You think that finally he'll wed her? Then, Safisa, what becomes of me? What new mischance would Andromache have to witness if at last Pyrrhus made Hermione his mistress?
Before all of Greece addresses you through my voice, let me tell you how glad I am to be their choice, and so, as their ambassador, gain this introduction to Achilles' son and the lord of Troy's destruction. Pylades.
Sir?
You know Pyrrhus. What is his intention? How's his court, his heart?
His heart?
Yes. What's your impression? Hermione, Pylades. Is she still his love?
Orestes.
Might I regain what he robbed me of?
Sir, we've come...
To let Pyrrhus know we know he's not been friendly to his friends, that we know who he's got, and find out what he intends for the boy and his mother.
That's our mission here, yes. But do you have another?
To answer that, you'd have to know what fate has chosen. Maybe love drove me here. The one whose heart is frozen.
Sir, Orestes!
Sir. Yes, Phoenix.
They're here.
Who's with him?
Pylades. And 100 men.
They're serious.
As it seems. The Greek fleet is assembling.
So, what's our decision?
You're the king.
Yes. But if you were in my position...
No. You can't intend. You can't mean to lavish your life again, your whole soul on her, on love's slavish service. You cannot hope, having spurned you in Sparta, Hermione might chance to have a change of heart here. The hours you showered her with oaths made you ashamed, you claimed. You loathed her. You would not let her be named. You deceived me.
It was myself I was deceiving. Pylades, please, friend, be a little more forgiving. Have I ever tried to hide my heart from you? No. You saw the first fires of this love begin to glow. Saw, when Menelaus chose to give his daughter to Pyrrhus, the man who would put their foes to slaughter, my desolation. And then, when horror of horrors, Hermione herself began to fawn on Pyrrhus, were there. Through all these trials, reliable, trusty, the one loyal follower of woeful Orestes, I thought I had. I thought I'd beaten my compulsion, turned every spark of rapture for her to revulsion. And when I heard the kings were gathering together once more, debating how to greet some new-come danger, I dived straight in, imagining the martial art would be the perfect thing to occupy my heart. But fate and Pylades, you must admire her cunning. She laid the trap I fled from right where I was running. For who is it? Their newest object of reproof? Pyrrhus, because he's hidden beneath this roof, Astyanax, last wretched gasp of Hector's lineage, the boy who seems was spirited out of Troy's wreckage by a mother whose wit, I mean Andromache's, must outstrip even our ingenious Ulysses. What's more, it seems Pyrrhus has shifted his affections, that he's now blind to Hermione's attentions. Menelaus scoffs, of course, but still dismayed. Their wedding day seems to be repeatedly delayed. And as I felt my hatred starting to expire, it revealed the fuel that had fed it was desire. I beseeched the kings to elect me as their envoy. Receiving their consent, quickly convened this convoy. Yes, because we must convince Pyrrhus to release the boy prince whose presence here endangers our peace. But maybe that's my motivation on the surface. And to snatch my princess from him's my real purpose. And don't hope to see my rekindled love for her deterred, despite whatever obstacles occur. I'm in love. Hermione resides in this place. I must woo her, snatch her, or die before her face.
What next for the Alliance? 1 year from Troy's fall, Orestes comes to Epirus.
Let me say how pleased I am to be in Epirus and leading these negotiations with King Pyrrhus.
Come on. Orestes!
Why him? Of all...
Why is it the idea of seeing him here distresses you so much, madam? Orestes? The same Orestes you said you yearned to see 100 times or more. Whose love, whose loyalty you have been pining for.
You can't think. My fiancé's persistent indifference. That's why I resent Orestes' sudden appearance. For me, it's nothing but shame. For him, jubilation. The pair of us now conjoined in humiliation. Is that her, he'll say? Is that proud Hermione who's been cast aside as she abandoned me? The fool who set so high a price upon her love has found out how it feels to be given the shove. Ugh, God.
Madam, remember who you are. Be calm. Orestes is hopelessly enthralled to your charms. So why would he come here to put you on the rack? His heart belongs to you. He's just bringing it back.
It would be dishonest of me if I were to promise that you can expect much hope of happiness from this. True, he doesn't crave Hermione as before. We hear Hector's woman's what he's now yearning for. He burns for her, though the widow stays icy-hearted, rewarding his ardour with nothing but her hatred. He taunts her, describes how he'll carve her boy in pieces, gets her to weep, and once he's got her weeping, ceases. Hermione, they say, 100 times or more, maybe, has had to endure him hammering at her door, raw from another of these bitter assignations. Then he woos her, though more in rage than adoration. I'd say he could, that he really could, in this fervour, marry her he hates, murder the one he lives for.
But...
We're here to speak to the king. Make him aware all Greece has allied herself against Hector's heir, his mistress's boy. Remember... The more you threaten, the more Pyrrhus' grip upon them both will tighten. Ready?
Madam, where are you going?
Where else? I'm going to my son.
It's too soon.
No, it's time.
Orestes.
Your Majesty.
This is Phoenix, who once
advised your father and now advises you. We know Phoenix. His reputation precedes him.
Only good, I trust. Excellent. Shall we begin?
Before all of Greece addresses you through my voice, may I first say how glad I am to be their choice, and so, as their ambassador, gain this introduction to Achilles' son and the lord of Troy's destruction. Your deeds we acclaim as your father's were before. Hector felled by his hand, Troy destroyed by yours, for you've confirmed, through such exemplary endeavour, Achilles' son to be his father's true successor. But heed not, as you have, give Greece cause for regret when she sees you seek to revive the Trojan threat. Nor he'd have let pity sway him to the protection of the last remnant of this too prolonged contention. Sir, have you forgotten who and what Hector was? Our devastated families grieving their loss, our widows and our orphans, They can still remember. There is not a home throughout Greece that does not clamour for this poor boy's unhappy life, that does not claim a husband, brother, or son to his father's name. A child he is now, but what may lie in his future? Shall we see him one day maybe harry our harbours, set our ships ablaze, as Hector did upon Troy's beach, and drive them, flaming brand in hand, beyond our reach? Dare I share with you, sir, my personal opinion? I fear you've overlooked the risks of this decision. I mean for you, sir. For though now you meet his needs, this cub you keep may come to bite the hand that feeds. In other words, giving the Greeks their satisfaction slakes their revenge and ensures your self-preservation.
Greece worries herself too much about my well-being. I'd imagined this was weightier matter, seeing the name and pedigree of the ambassador, that what might bring Agamemnon's son to our shore, I'd ignorantly, as it would appear, surmised would be a somewhat more impressive enterprise. Not an entire nation, umpteen times triumphant, descending to contrive the murder of an infant. And who's it telling me I must give up this boy? What rights to his life does Greece expect to enjoy? Am I the only one among the Greeks, I wonder, that is to be denied my portion of the plunder? So, when amongst the shattered walls and smoking coils of Troy, the blood-soaked victors divided our spoils, in the lottery that they held, I fairly won, besides Andromache herself, her infant son. Queen Hecuba's lot was taken by Ulysses. Cassandra was taken by your father. Are these also to be shared now? Should I demand my piece of the winnings of every other king in Greece? You say, though Hector is gone, Troy might still continue. Insinuate his son might one day be my ruin. Such precaution requires much too much energy. I cannot fear today a fate so far from me. I grew up with the tales of Troy, in bygone eras of her topless towers and her hallowed halls of heroes, the Empress of Asia. But with my own eyes, I've seen her present destiny. How she lies, her walls a wilderness of rubble under ash, her fields stripped bare, her river a bloody gash, her children in chains. It's beyond my imagination, Troy, in this state, could ever seek retaliation. Ah, and if now it's deemed that Hector's son should die, why have we allowed an entire year to go by? Why wasn't he impaled then on Priam's chest? Just one more little corpse piled up amongst the rest. Then anything was allowed. The young, the old, the frail. Women pleaded their weakness to no avail. All the while, darkness and victory served to herd us, heedless towards more and ever more needless murders. I showed no trace of mercy then to the vanquished. But should cruelty live on once our rage is extinguished? Ought I now, to all passion spent and pity filled, bathe myself in the blood of an innocent child? No, sir. The Greeks will have to slake their thirst elsewhere. There must be others who have scraps of Troy to spare, but our swords are sheathed now. Our rancor is sleeping. And what Troy has salvaged, Epirus will be keeping.
Sir, I don't think you are unaware of the fraud by which a false Astyanax went to the sword when Hector's son had been marked down for execution. Yeah, it's not from Troy, but Hector we seek retribution. Only by this death can we hope to end the war. And you'll have Greek troops disembarking on your shores unless you hand him over.
No! No, let them come! In Epirus, a second Troy's expecting them. We'll match them hate for hate until you can't distinguish the victorious living from the dead they vanquished.
She wants Greece to see you as her rebel son.
I didn't win a war to be her minion.
And Hermione, sir. Will she not give you cause to pause, torn between her father's concerns and yours?
I adore Hermione, as I always have, and can love her without being her father's slave. But if you wish to visit your cousin, please do. I know how close the bonds of blood are between you. And after you have seen her, you have my approval to return to Greece with the news of my refusal.
Sir, have you no fear you might be playing with fire? Supposing his devotion ignites her desire.
Good. Let them fall in love, Phoenix. Let them depart starry-eyed for Sparta, if that is where her heart leads her. They both of them know the way to the harbor. For me, it will be nothing but relief from labor.
But, sir...
Later. There will be time to tell you more. Andromache. Who or what are you looking for, madam? Is it too much to hope that I'm the reason?
I'm going to the place you hold my son in prison. We'll spend the little moment that you grant us weeping. Then I'll kiss him and return him to your safe keeping.
Well, lady, judged by the current state of alarm, it's the Greeks from whom you have to fear greatest harm.
What new fear could possibly make Greek hearts beat faster? Has some other Trojan eluded our disaster?
Their hatred for Hector remains raw and awake. His son terrifies them.
Well, that should make them quake! An innocent child too green to have any concept that he might be a hero's heir, or Pyrrhus' subject.
Nevertheless, they won't sleep easy till he's dead. That's why Agamemnon's son has come. The boy's head.
And you'll consent to this? You will sign his death warrant? Is it because of me my child's become abhorrent? My boy! Who'd have been father and husband to me too. But all must be sacrificed, and always to you.
Before you start to weep, listen to my decision. The Greeks have already threatened us with invasion. But even should they launch another 1,000 ships to snatch your son, and unleash carnage to eclipse the bloody oceans that were spilt in Helen's name, and for 10 years I gaze upon Epirus in flames, I pledge to your son my unwavering support. Although in shielding his life, mine may be cut short. This is the risk that I will take for your advantage. In return, what hope do I have of ever being granted one kind glance? Hemmed in and hated by the Greeks, do I still have to wrestle with your cruelty too? Here is my hand. Can it be beyond expectation you might one day welcome my adoration? Or that while I'm defending you, I could suppose I did not need to number you amongst my foes?
What are you thinking? Have you thought how Greece will take this? Must a warrior's spirit manifest such weakness? So fine and generous a gesture on your part, deformed to the mania of a lovesick heart. Here I am, a miserable, self-loathing captive. Can Andromache's love ever be your objective? What possible attraction could these eyes be keeping for him who himself sentenced them to ceaseless weeping? No, no. By all means, show mercy to the reviled. Pity your foes. Restore a mother to her child. Defend him from the hatred of 100 nations. Do this, but do not ask my heart in compensation. Give him asylum, not for me, but himself rather. That would be conduct befitting your famous father.
How can you? Will this bitterness never be sated? Must I be endlessly punished? Forever hated? I have done terrible things, I admit. Your lance 100 times beheld her blood redden my hands. But your eyes exact their retribution, their every tear sharpening my persecution, piercing my heart over and over with remorse. Every wound, every grief I caused in these wars is mine now. Defeated, a captive, broken-hearted, consumed by more fires than I ever could have started. Tell me that I may hope. That's all you need to do. I'll free your son and be a father to him too. I'll be his tutor, and I will make of this boy a man to right the wrongs done to you, me, and Troy. Spurred by a single glance from you, I can accomplish anything. Raise up Troy where now she lies demolished. I vow, swifter than the Greeks raised them to the ground, within her rebuilt walls I will see your son crowned.
The glories you describe, sir, they no longer matter to us. They're gone and now lie buried with his father. No, they must not expect to see us any more, those sacred walls that could not keep Hector secure. The lost must learn to live with lower expectations. Exile, sir, is the summit of my aspirations. Let us go somewhere far away from you and far from Greece to care for my son and mourn my husband in peace. This love you bear for us will only breed more slaughter. Go back, sir, back to perfect Helen's perfect daughter.
And how can I? Do you delight in my distress? How can I offer her a heart that you possess? I know the vows I made to her, what she was promised. I know she came to reign as Epirus' mistress. But since she came, have I done anything to woo her? Is she the mistress here, or wouldn't it be truer to say that you are? That her charms have gone unseen, that she's become the prisoner, and you the queen? If any of the sighs my heart's heaved for you, even one, had been meant for her, she would be in heaven.
And why not? What reason has she to be ungrateful? She's no grounds to find your heroic exploits hateful, has she? Troy? Hector? What's in these to rouse her scorn? Has she a husband whom she will forever mourn? And what a husband! Ah, cruel memory, whose story provided your father with immortal glory. Only through Hector's blood did he become a hero. The fame of both of you is founded on my sorrow.
As you wish, lady. I'll take you at your word. Henceforth you'll be forsaken, or rather abhorred. For I have adored you for too long with such vehemence that I can't suddenly dwindle into indifference. What you should know about my nature is that of... where I can't love in rapture, hate with bile. Hatred that holds no compassion for any other. Oh, I'll see the child atoned for the sins of the mother. Greece is hungry for him, and why should I intrude to stake my name and fame for your ingratitude?
So, what's the news? What message has come from Sparta?
Look, Daddy says, if Pyrrhus delays any further and he won't hand over the Trojan boy to die, when the Greek mission leaves Epirus, so do I.
Then I'd suggest you pay Orestes some attention, and what Pyrrhus has half-started bring to completion. To win, you must stop the wedding before he can. How often have you told me that you hate this man?
Of course I hate him, Cleone. I've been dishonoured. I hate him for the tenderness in me he's squandered, for being so affectionate and such a liar. What is there left but hate when I felt such desire?
Run away then, madam, towards a lover who'll...
No! First, my fury needs more time to grow, more fuel. I have to fortify my heart against the foe. Oh, Cleone, it's got to be carnage when I go. He'll be hoping it can all be handled quietly.
What fuel? What more abuse are you after? What cruelty more than courting this whore, a slave, before your eyes? That's enough, surely, a slave, for you to despise, to loathe him. What other outrage are you expecting? If there's anything can, this must make you reject him.
Why do you love to aggravate my agony? I daren't stare into this abyss surrounding me. All you've seen, that you know, try to erase the memory. Believe I'm not in love. Salute me for the victory over my heart. Believe she's still safe in her shell. And if you can, help me to believe it as well. Okay. You tell me I should run. Well, good. There's no obstruction. Let's go.
Yeah.
Why envy, this obscene seduction, the slave imprisoning the master in her chains. Let's run away. Oh, what if he turns back again? What if his heart were to renounce his new religion? He were to fall down at my feet and seek my pardon? What if, love, you were able to bring him to heel? What if... Oh, no. His pleasure comes from the pain that I feel. So let's stay, if only to ruin their contentment. Let's stay and entertain ourselves with their resentment, or goad him into breaking off our marriage vows and bring down all the fury of the Greeks upon his house. I first told Greece about the son. Now I'll go further and ensure that they demand both boy and his mother. All the suffering she's caused me, let her enjoy, and one or the other destroy.
You really think that eyes forever full of tears have any intent or interest in your affairs? Or that a heart that has been so completely wrecked by grief could desire her grief's chief architect? And if you loved someone, why would you be so cruel?
I should have been crueler. Colder. Less of a fool. I should have hid behind a mask of mystery instead of putting my trust in sincerity. Why did I never think to hold back at the start instead of always seeking to speak from the heart? Wouldn't anyone desire to be this honest, believing she's protected by his solemn promise? Did he look at me then with the same eyes he does today? Think back. Then everything is going his way. My family's been avenged. The Greeks are beyond joy. Our ship's homeward bound, weighed down with plunder from Troy. His father's achievements have been outshone by his. And his love for me is more ardent than mine is for him. So I thought. You too were carried away. Long before he'd betrayed me, you'd led me astray. But that's the past. And whatever is or was Pyrrhus, Hermione has sense, and Orestes his virtues. Yeah. He knows how to love, at least, even when ignored. Maybe he can teach me how he can be adored. Well, tell him to come.
Madam, he's here.
I hadn't any idea he was so near. Can I guess, sir, that it is some lingering fondness that brings you in quest of a melancholy princess? Or should I imagine it's duty and no more, this eager urgency ushered you to my door?
Lady, my love's always in search of new disasters, as you know. It is the destiny of Orestes to be ceaselessly drawn back to your flame every time, vowing I'll never do this again. Only seeing you will open up my old injuries. That every step towards you amounts to perjury. I know. I'm ashamed. But by the gods on high, who witnessed the agony of our last goodbye, I swear, since then I've rushed anywhere sure destruction might release me from myself and my devotion to you. But I was spared. Returned to you. Compelled to seek in your eyes the death that fate has withheld from me. My despair expects nothing but their blankness. Only to know that hoping against hope is hopeless. They need, if they'd hasten me to an end I crave, only to tell me once more the thing they have 100 times...
Stop it! Stop this self-pitying patter. Greece sent you here upon a far more pressing matter. How's your destiny or my cruelty relevant? Remember all those states you're here to represent? Is their revenge now dependent upon your mood? Is anyone here asking for Orestes' blood? Accomplish the mission that you have been assigned.
It's already accomplished. Pyrrhus has declined and I've been dismissed. It seems some more potent connection has enticed him to give Hector's son his protection.
Faithless.
So before we return to our ships, I thought I'd come to hear my destiny from your lips.
although I'm sure that I already know the sentence your hatred long ago imposed on me in silence.
And more. You're unhappy. Must you be unfair too? This constant whine about how unkind I'm to you. What is this cruelty for which I'm always being chastised? Coming to Epirus is not my doing. It was my father commanded it. And who knows if since I've not been secretly sharing your woes. Do you imagine you're the only one being punished? Do you think Epirus has never witnessed my anguish? Who's said, despite the multiple duties I bear, there's been a day I haven't longed to see you here?
You've longed to see me? Oh, you celestial princess, have you forgotten exactly whom you address? Open your eyes. It's Orestes sitting here, me, the long-serving object of their hostility.
Yes, it's Orestes, whose love, when it first yielded to their spell, disclosed to them the power they wielded. You whose thousand virtues I am well aware of, you whom I have pitied and I have hoped to love.
No need to say any more. It's my usual part. Orestes gets your sympathy, Pyrrhus your heart.
Oh, Pyrrhus's part's not one you should hunger for. I would detest you.
No, you would desire me more. If you could look at me in some other way. You want to love me, but there's nothing I can say or do to please you. Yet, if love were your sole guide, you would desire me, lady, even as you tried to hate me. God, I have so much love, so much compassion. What can I do to ever make you see reason? It's just you speaking here on Pyrrhus's behalf. Only you, that's all. Maybe in spite of yourself. Surely despite him, the man who spurns you, who's burning for another.
Who's told you that? That he is spurning me? Where did you learn this? Not from his lips, his eyes. Are you saying my looks are easy to despise? Or that any love they stir won't stay the course? Maybe other eyes are less critical than yours.
Don't stop, since mocking me's clearly amusing you. But, my dear Tigress, is it me abusing you? Can't those eyes of yours attest to my loyalty? How can I be called a witness to their frailty? You say that I've despised them? Wouldn't they love him to show them the kind of spite I'm accused of?
What do I care about his spite or his affection? He's a traitor. Rouse Greece against his insurrection. Let him recognize the price of his rebellion. Transform Epirus into a second Ilium. Do it. And now tell me that he still has my heart.
Then do one thing more, lady. Come back. Depart with us. Why stay here and become his hostage, a pledge of his safety? Home, you'll give every sword an edge. Think, for Greece, the impact your abuse will carry.
And while I'm away, what happens if they marry?
Hermione.
Think of the dishonour, the shame for us, for Greece, if he gives a Trojan his name.
This is the way that you hate him. Oh, lady, yield. Admit that love is a fire that cannot be concealed. Everything, tongue, eyes, silence, will betray her light. And fires half smothered are sure to reignite.
Oh, sir, I can see clearly the way your blinkered reason stains my every word with its own corrosive poison, scouring about for something to excoriate. Convinced desire must be concealed beneath my hate. So let me make myself quite clear. You can act after. You know that I was sent to this place by my father. Duty brought me here, keeps me here, and I can't go until either my father or Pyrrhus says so. Go to the king, and as my father's mediator, say his daughter will not be married to a traitor. Pyrrhus will have to choose between me and the Trojan, which of us he wants to keep and which abandon. He must either hand you the boy or send me home.
Farewell. If he consents, I'm ready to come.
And you will. And he will. It's beyond supposition. Right now, this second, I could pen you his permission. I know Pyrrhus must surrender her in the end, because he only has eyes for his Trojan friend. Everything else offends him. At this precise moment, I'm sure he's searching for a pretext for annulment. We only need to speak, and it is done. The joy of robbing Epirus of such a precious toy. And look, whom should my dear friend Fortune choose to send here? I'll speak to him. God of love, blind him to her splendor.
Orestes, I'm reaching out because I suspect I may have seemed headstrong in appearing to reject your earlier request. I apologize. Since you left, I've recognized its reasons and good sense. I can see, like you, that I would have been betraying Greece. My father, myself too, in what I was saying. By bringing Troy back to life, I would have demolished everything Achilles, everything I've accomplished. I will not obstruct your legitimate demands. And the boy will be brought forthwith and placed in your hands.
It's a prudent and punctilious resolution, sir, which purchases peace for a child's execution.
Yes. And I intend to make it yet more secure. A lasting peace that Hermione will ensure. We're getting married. There would seem a certain fitness in tying the knot while you're here to be our witness. For you represent land and family in one. The envoy of Greece and her father's brother's son. So let's do it. Would you let her know that tomorrow you'll give her away to me? And that peace will follow.
Phoenix, am I a slave to emotion, or a master once more worthy of your devotion?
Yes, most worthy, sir. And this righteous wrath you've shown restores you not only to the Greeks, but your own self too. Not jumping into line at passion's whistle, but Pyrrhus again, son of Achilles, and his equal. One whom glory will welcome back under her sway. For he has triumphed over Troy once more today.
Say rather, today's the climax of my story. Only from today can I rejoice in my glory. And my heart, as free as it was once in the throes of love, love vanquished could crush a thousand foes.
Yes, sir, you chose the perfect moment to be cruel. To show...
You saw how she had played me for a fool, Phoenix. I'd thought seeing her son, since she'd so fretted for him, would send her running back to me, indebted. I'd promised my protection for the boy in vain. It's Hector, she would say, clutching at him again. These are his eyes, his mouth, already his bravery. It's him, you, my husband, I hold, the same reverie, always. What'd she imagine? What's she thinking of? That I'd let her see her son to feed her dead love?
I'm sure that was just how she intended on thanking you. But forget her, sir.
Oh, I know what she's banking on. Her beauty. Despite whatever rage I feel, the Princess of Troy still presumes that I will kneel to her. And she'll kneel to me, and I'll look coolly on. For she's Hector's widow, and I'm Achilles' son, and the gulf of hatred between us is too wide.
Then let's speak of her no more, sir. Put her aside. Go find Hermione. Attend to her affection and allow your anger to drown in her perfection. It should be you there instructing her to prepare for her wedding, not a role a rival should share, one who longs for her.
When I'm wed, do you believe Andromache will feel jealous? Do you think she'll grieve?
God for once put Andromache out of your brain. What's it matter to you if she feels joy or pain? What's this hold that she has? Why must it always be heeded?
I've not said everything to her that I needed. A fraction of my anger, that's all that she saw. She hasn't heard, won't know how wholly I abhor her. Let's find her again. I want to brave her presence and allow my hatred to have unbridled license. Come on, Phoenix, come and witness her charm's defeat. Let's go.
You go, sir, to throw yourself at her feet. Go on and swear your everlasting adoration before you spur her to some new humiliation.
I see. You imagine that my resolve will crack. My heart's running after her, hoping she'll come back.
You love her. That's all there is.
Love her? The mendacious whore, whose heart grows more hateful the more mine is gracious. No family, no friends, no hope but in my good. I could have her son put to death. Maybe I should. A refugee, not even that. A slave, no higher, to whom I'd have handed her son, my love, my empire. No. No, I give you my word, my revenge is certain. The time has come to justify her detestation. I'll hand over the boy. Oh, what tears she'll shed. What names her grief will shower down upon my head. What motive and what cue this will give her for passion. It will kill her, Phoenix. And I'll have made it happen. As surely as if my hand were upon the blade. Come on. I'll do whatever you command of me. Must I dispatch the boy? Or face Hermione?
Go and see her, sir. She is waiting to be won. Promise
everything I've sworn to do will be done.
To the palace, where on the eve of the royal wedding, a glittering constellation of guests is heading for a reception to honor Hermione, Helen's daughter, princess of Sparta, queen to be.
Orestes, please, before you do someone, you harm. I don't recognize you. This isn't you. Be calm. Listen to me.
No. Your wisdom is out of season, Pylades. I'm sick of listening to reason. All it does is drag out my life and my life's anguish. I have a choice. I snatch her away or I perish. The plan's worked out and I intend to see it through. I mean it.
Well then, carry her off. I'm with you. But would you consider where you are for a moment? What other eyes may be watching your every movement? These soldiers, this palace, even the air around us belongs, Hermione above all else, to Pyrrhus. From her more than anyone you must hide your hate. God, what would you achieve seeing her in this state?
Who knows? Must I always be master of my actions? Rage, Pylades. I'm looking for... Need a reaction, maybe. Tell me what soul wouldn't have been cleaved to the core by the thunderbolt I've just received? Tomorrow he's going to marry Hermione... Wants me to give her away to honour me with this hand I'd sooner steep in his bastard blood.
Sir, you presume Pyrrhus chose this for his own good. But how do you know, a prisoner to his obsession, that he's not as worthy as you are of compassion?
No. No. I know him too well. My despair's his sport. If I didn't love her, he'd not give her a thought. He's always been indifferent to her charm so far, and now the bastard's taking her to make me suffer. Oh, gods. It was done. Hermione was won, removed so far from him it could not be undone. Her heart, still wavering between cruel and tender, sought only one more rebuff from him to surrender. Her eyes were starting to open. She heard my voice, spoke to me, wept. One more word would have made her choice.
So you think?
She said so. She hates him, called him a traitor. She was incensed.
Her love for him was never greater than then. You think if Pyrrhus let you have your way, she wouldn't find some other pretext for delay? Listen, why will you weave with her every waver? Don't carry her away, flee from her forever! What is this frenzy to have a fury for a wife who will detest you each day of your married life, regretting the wedding she so nearly dispatched, longing...
And that's why she has to be snatched. Everything smiles on her always, but what's my portion? To go on lugging around my impotent passion, flee far as I can from her in search of oblivion. No. If I must dwell in hell, I want a companion. No more lonely tears. I'm sick of her sympathy. Now the bitch will feel the savagery that's in me.
So is this how our embassy is going to end? Orestes the rapist.
Pylades, why pretend? Suppose we get the boy, the king's hail my success, will her pleasure in my pain become any less? So what use to me is all Greece's gold and glory if in Epirus I'm the butt of every story? Well, because, and let's get it out into the open, my innocence has become a bit of a burden. I can't say which is the heavenly malcontent who excuses sin and pursues the innocent, but in every corner of this world I've trod, I have witnessed disasters that indict the gods. So now I will earn their wrath, deserve their discontent, henceforth enjoy the crime before the punishment. But you, dear friend, What's this misbegotten desire you have to place yourself within the line of fire when I'm the target? Can't you see my friendship's cursed? Leave while you can. Abandon me before the worst happens. Pity is the most dreadful temptation. It's my fate. Leave me alone to reap my damnation. Take the Greeks the boy Pyrrhus has given me and go! First, we have to snatch Hermione. The hour of need is when virtue shows her mettle. There's nothing friendship, when inspired by love, can't battle. Summon the entourage, tell them they must prepare. The ships are in the harbour and the wind set fair. I know this palace's secluded corridors, and I know the dangers lurking behind its doors. Wait, and tonight we'll find the means to secretly slip you and your prize into the belly of your ship.
Dear friend, your friendship has been much too much abused. But please, pardon those wrongs only you can excuse. Forgive a fool who ruins all he longs to touch, who is hated by the world, but not half so much as he hates himself. One day I shall repay you.
Hide your feelings, sir. That's all I ask you to do. Conceal our plan until we are ready to sail. Till then, drown all thoughts of Hermione's betrayal. Bury your love. No one, not even her, must see.
Go. Take care of it all. I can take care of me. Well, lady, my mission's brought you the prize you wanted. I saw the king, and now your wedding day's appointed.
Yes.
And nothing in you feels this marriage is wrong.
Who would have thought that Pyrrhus loved me all along, or he would have waited to make a declaration till I was on the very verge of separation? Although I can well believe, like you, it's fear of Greece, not love for me. He wants me less than he wants peace. And you're the one over whom my power is always greater.
No, lady. He loves you and will love you more later. Haven't your eyes always got anything they wanted? And I'm sure you don't want him to be disappointed.
I've no choice. I'm pledged. It's no longer my decision. I can't withhold from him what's not in my possession. A princess cannot simply follow her desires. She has to joy in doing what duty requires. But remember, I would have come. You know it's true. I would have forgotten duty and followed you.
Oh, it's clear you've not forgotten how to be cruel. Lady, we all have free possession of our soul. Yours is yours. I had hope. But the final decision, where you grant it, doesn't require my permission.
Cleone, did you expect such half-hearted anger?
No. But a sorrow of few words can still hide danger. I pity him. All the more because he must know. He brought about his own downfall, dealt the blow. How long's your marriage contract waited to be signed? Orestes says his piece. Pyrrhus makes up his mind.
You can't think that Pyrrhus is afraid. Of what? The spectre of the people who, for 10 years, fled before Hector. Who, whenever Achilles wouldn't come to fight, used to huddle inside their burned-out ships from fright, and who, without his son's support, would still be hunkered there, hoping to get Helen from a Troy unconquered. No, Pyrrhus isn't scared of any adversary. He does what he likes. And if he's going to marry, it's because he loves me. Orestes can declare me guilty for his misfortunes, but do we care? Pyrrhus has come back to us again. Oh, dear Cleone, I'm so very lucky to be Hermione. Do you really know who Pyrrhus is? Can you recount his deeds? Could anyone even begin to count all of his victories? Of a man who trails glory wherever he walks. Charming, true. The perfect story. Thank you.
Watch yourself. Here comes your rival for this hero. She'll be hoping that you will be her friend in sorrow.
God! Can't I have one moment alone just to relish? I mean, what's there to say to her? Let's go.
My dear, don't vanish. Surely you want to afford your eyes the treat of seeing Hector's widow sobbing at your feet. Don't worry. I've not come for the man you've enchanted. I saw, alas, the only heart I ever wanted hacked open. Pierced through by cruel Achilles' sword. And all of my desire lies buried with my lord. But Hector had a son,
Maybe you will discover one day, madam, the all-consuming love her mother possesses for her child. But I pray you will not ever have to taste her agony. When anything she's got of happiness apart from that love has been taken away from her. And then that too is threatened. Time was when, worn down by 10 years of bloody strife, the Trojans in rage sought to take your mother's life. It was I spoke to Hector. He procured her safety. If you were to ask, Pyrrhus might show the same pity. What danger is this boy now that his father's gone? Let me smuggle him away far from anyone, somewhere where he'll be secure in his mother's keeping. And all my son will ever learn from me is weeping.
You have my sympathy. You do. But I have learned to govern my tongue where my father is concerned, and in this matter, he is the prime motivator. But if Pyrrhus can be persuaded, who'd be better than you, who has been his every waking thought? Get him to agree it. You have my full support.
The slut. Did you see the scorn in her rejection?
If I were you, then I would follow her suggestion. See him. One glance. Both she and Greece will be undone. And here he is, coming to find you.
Where's she gone? Didn't you tell me this was where we'd find my princess?
She was here.
I'm powerless to change him. It's pointless.
What'd she say, Phoenix?
Everyone abandons me.
Come on, sir. Let's go and find Hermione.
Why are you waiting? It's no time to be hard-hearted.
He's promised them my son.
But they haven't departed.
No, no. I have wept enough. He's as good as dead.
The arrogance. The bitch won't even turn her head in our direction.
Let's go. I'll only annoy him more.
Let's find the Greeks and hand over the boy.
No, stop, sir.
Do you know what you're about to do? If you give him to them, give them his mother too. Would you condemn me to despair, unseen, unheard?
Phoenix can tell you. I have given them my word.
You promised, swore you'd stand by me, whatever threatened.
I was blind before, but now my eyes have been opened. Then I would have done anything I could for you. I'd have spared his life. But you never asked me to. And now it's all over.
And you never suspected my appeals were stifled from fear they'd be rejected. You must pardon the last spark of a glorious past, a shred of pride in one who's never had to ask. You more than anyone should recognize it failing. There's no other man alive that would see me kneeling.
No. You despise me. Deep down, deep within your soul, you fear that by loving me, you'd give me control. That even your love for this boy, the son you cherish, if I were to save him, would somehow be diminished. Your hatred and scorn for me are wholly entwined. Your loathing for me exceeds all the Greeks combined. Well, may rage keep you in the manner you're accustomed. Come on, Phoenix.
Let us go to rejoin my husband. What is there still left to say to him? Number my misfortunes? He caused them all. Can't he remember? Sir, view the gutter to which you've reduced my fame. I have seen my father dead and our home in flames. Witness the long lineage of my family crushed and my husband's body dragged through the bloody dust. His son and heir, together with myself, preserved as slaves. But a child gives hope. I've survived. I've served. And more than that, sometimes I have found consolation in being exiled here under your dispensation. Thought him happy in his mishap. My king's descendant, if he must be a slave, to be a king's attendant. I even dreamed his exile might offer asylum, since your father had once shown such respect to Priam when he grieved for Hector's death. But you are not he. Oh, pardon me, dear Hector, my credulity. I fantasized your enemy was virtuous, and that despite himself, he might be generous. Oh,
Maybe he is enough to allow me access to the tomb that my love constructed for your ashes, where we can consummate our sorrows and his hate. The husks of two hearts he can never separate.
Phoenix, I'll find you. Step in here a moment, lady. It is still possible to keep your boy in safety.
Sapisa, come!
I'm sorry. By provoking your tears, I've only added to your hatred and your fear of me. I'd thought my hate exceeded my affection, but lady, if you turn your eyes in my direction, does this look like the face of a merciless judge? Or of an adversary bearing you a grudge? Why do you always force me to be your oppressor? For the sake of your son, we must now stand together. If he is to live, then I am the one you need. What do you want me to get on my knees and plead? Must I beg you to beg me for his liberation? Can't you see saving him is also our salvation? I know what this entails. The vows I shall have to break. How many people will despise me for your sake? I will dismiss Hermione and place upon her not a queenly crown, but perpetual dishonor. Lead you to the altar where she should have been wed and set her bridal garland on your brows instead. Now's the moment, lady, to have done with disdain. You have to make a choice, to face ruin or to reign. My heart, having loved a whole year without fruition, can't bear to live a moment more in indecision. To fear, to frighten, to sigh more is too frustrating. I'll die if I lose you, but I will die from waiting. Think well. I'll go. And I will return to escort you to the temple to where your son will be brought. And there either he will witness your coronation, or you will deliver him to his execution.
I told you, for all Greece's ingenuity, you're once again the mistress of your destiny.
What on earth are you saying? Huh? How is this good fortune when condemning my sons become my only option?
Madam, we can be too faithful to the departed. And too much virtue can in turn become perverted. Surely, your husband would want you to find contentment.
And you think he would choose Pyrrhus as his replacement?
His son would. The son whom the Greeks can't wait to crush. After all, do you think that Hector's ghost would blush, or that he would scorn a king, glorious in warfare, who'll restore you once more to the rank of your forebears? Who'll trample your persecutors into the earth, and who, by forgetting his father and his birth, has consigned all Achilles' exploits to oblivion?
And I should forget them because he has forgotten? I should forget Hector, robbed of a funeral, dragged in triumph round and round our walls. Must I also forget Priam, a bloody bundle at my feet, slumped on the altar he had clung to? Think back, Safisa, to that night upon whose cruelty we thought the day would never dawn. Remember how, eyes brilliantly ablaze, Pyrrhus was picked out by the glimmer of our burning palace as he hacked his pathway across the matted dead, my brothers, stoking the massacre, soaked in red. Think of the whoops of the victors. Think of the howling of those consumed in the inferno, of those falling under the axe. And now, picture Andromache, stupefied amidst these horrors. Picture her see Pyrrhus for the first time, the monarch of this carnage. Is this the man that you would yoke me to in marriage? No, I won't be atrocity's accomplice. He can have us as his last trophies if he wants us. And I will serve him bile until my final breath.
We should go and witness your son's death. They will be waiting for you. Madam, you're shaking.
The terrible memories, the ghosts this awakens. Sophisa, must I watch him die again? This boy, the only image that I still keep of Hector, my joy. The son he left me as a pledge of his devotion. I remember the day that heroism drove him in search of Achilles, or rather, deadly harm. He called for the boy and took him into his arms. My love, he said, wiping away my tears. What fortune has in store for me in this war, I can't be certain. But this boy's my pledge. I've always been true to you. If I die, I know in you he'll find me anew. If you hold dear the memory of our life together, let your love for this boy prove how you loved his father. And should I stand by while they spill this blood I've cherished? With him, allow all of his ancestors to perish. Barbarous king, why must he be incriminated by my crime? If I hate you, how's he implicated? Has he blamed you for his family's liquidation? Denounced you for wrongs beyond his imagination? Nevertheless, my son, you will die if I don't check the sword the tyrant brandishes above your neck. And I could deflect it. So why do I not offer? No, he can't possibly die. I can't let him suffer. We must find Pyrrhus. No, no, Sophisa, I'll stay. Go find him for me.
What do you want me to say?
Tell him my mother's love has proved too strong. But what if Pyrrhus meant to kill him all along? How could love drive him to something so atrocious?
Madam, he'll be back soon and even more ferocious.
Yes, then tell him that I swear.
What? Your hand? Be swift.
I don't know if that's even still within my gift. Oh, ashes of my husband. Oh, my father. Troy. Your mother pays a heavy price for you, my boy. Come on.
Where, madam? What decision have you made?
We'll go to Hector's monument to seek his aid.
Is it good, Phoenix?
Sir, what do you mean, good?
Good. She's been in Hector's shrine for 2 hours. Should we do something? Send someone in? I mean, suppose...
Supposing what, sir?
Do you think she's...
Here she goes. She's coming out. Sophisa's with her.
Where's she? Phoenix?
What is it, sir?
She says she will marry me. Means it.
No doubt Hector's ghost spoke to you, I swear it. No one but Hector could so animate your spirit. He's working through you to ensure his son's protected. He knows that through this boy, Troy can be resurrected. Pyrrhus has made you a promise. It's all been planned. Madam, you'll have your son soon as he has your hand. Believe in his vows. A father, friendship, power, be happy. All these and more he'll happily shower on you, crown you queen of him, of his state.
Yes, yes, I know, but I haven't seen my son yet.
Madam, what's the rush? It's surely not so urgent now that your eyes can feast on him at any moment. The joy of seeing him grow tall and strong and brave. No more a boy fated to be his master's slave, but a prince taking his place beside his ancestors.
Sophisa, I must see him one last time before...
Before what? Before... No. No, 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 stop. Stop.
No.
Please, no, my friend. I will not try to hide from you what I intend. We've been through so many desperate times together, I thought that perhaps by now you would know me better. Did you imagine Andromache could ever slur a husband who trusted he would live on through her? Or disturb the rest of so many Trojan dead, simply so I could sleep more soundly in my bed? Is this the promise you believe I made to Hector? But his son's condemned, and I'm his only protector, until I marry Pyrrhus, and he becomes his ward. And that is enough. On that, I can rest assured. I trust Pyrrhus. He may be brutal, but he's honest. And Safisa, he will do more than he has promised, because I can bank too upon the Greeks' attacks. Their hatreds found a father for Astyanax. And so, since I must sacrifice myself, I'll give Pyrrhus gladly all I have left of life to live. And the vow that he will make to me in response will chain him to my son in sacramental bonds. And once it's done, I'll cut this miserable life with my own hand, till the end Hector's faithful wife. So there you have it. My love's innocent deception. There is my husband's spirit, for it's his inception. I'll go alone to rejoin Hector and my race, and you, Safisa, must stay and cover my face.
No, don't imagine I could possibly survive.
Yes, yes, you must, Safisa. I need you alive. I need you to nurse Hector's son, my legacy. Live for him as you have always lived for me. The hopes of Troy are dependent upon this whelp, and through him think how many future kings you'll help. Make sure the boy grows up knowing his nation's story, our glorious heroes, and how they won their glory. Let him know his father exceeded any other. And sometimes, also talk to him about his mother. But not Safisa, so that he should dream of vengeance. He has a guardian to whom he owes obedience. He must learn not to be boastful about the past. He is Hector's blood. But he is the very last. And for him today, I've given the gods above what remains of my blood, my hatred, and my love.
I cannot bear.
Safisa, you must understand. You hold the fate of Andromache in your hands.
Lay, 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 lay.
Hermione, why are you so calm? I've seen you shudder whenever Andromache's name was merely uttered, and now, known you to be thrown into despair if Pyrrhus did so much as cast a glance at her. He's marrying her. He'll place a crown round her brows, which should be upon yours, and make to her the vows he made to you. This dumb calmness, like you're numb. Surely it would be better...
Will Orestes come?
He's coming, madam. Of course he is. Have no fear that soon you'll see how eagerly he'll volunteer his service to you without a hope of reward. The sight of you's enough. That's his pleasure assured. But he's here.
Ah, lady. Can it really be true that this once you asked for wanted me to see you? Or am I about to discover I've been flattered into the illusion that my existence mattered to you? Dare I believe your eyes finally will, or could
it? I want to know if you love me still.
If I love you? Gods! After the swearing, the lying, my flight from you, my return to you, my wounds, my sighing, my despair, my eyes rubbed raw red, which overran with tears. If this can't convince you, then nothing can.
Avenge me. Then I'll believe it.
No more delays. Let's go, lady, and together set Greece ablaze once more. With my might and your name, we can lay claim, you to Helen's and I to Agamemnon's fame. Let's rekindle in Epirus all of Troy's torments, till we're spoken of in the same breath as our parents. Let us leave now. I'm ready.
No! Let's hold out. I've no wish to drag humiliation about with me. What? And my shameless enemies the pleasure of leaving. Going to plot slow revenge elsewhere and then hazarding it to the fortunes of war and risking their crimes ending up unanswered for. No. I want Epirus plunged in grief when I leave it. You say you will be my avenger. Then achieve it in the next hour. Delays denial, love takes wing. Go at once to the temple and there kill...
Whom?
The king.
Pyrrhus.
Is your resolve starting to soften? Ah, go on. Run away. Quick, and pray that I don't summon you back. And don't try to tell me all that I owe him. Why should you defend him? Isn't he your foe?
Defend him when I know too well how he's abused you. Why would I attempt to get his crimes excused? Let's be avenged by all means in some other fashion. We will be his enemy, but not his assassin. His destruction should fit the justice of our cause. Greece wants his reply. Will his head win their applause? Did I agree to represent the cares of our nation to end my embassy with an assassination? For God's sake, please, let Greece be his prosecutor and see him executed by process of law. Remember that he is a king, a sovereign ruler.
Oh, it's not enough for you that I am his accuser, or that I, who have paid the price of his offence to my name, my fame, my shame, require recompense, or that for his death, Hermione is the reward. The death of the tyrant I loathe and once adored. Because I won't lie, he knew how to give me pleasure. Whether that was to please me or to please my father doesn't matter. But listen carefully to my words. Despite all the loathing his abuses have stirred and despite all the faithless promises he's given, while he is still living, he can still be forgiven. Be warned. Until he's dead, your joy is only borrowed. If he's alive today, he may be loved tomorrow.
Very well. He must die before he gets that chance. He must. But how? When nothing's been planned in advance? How can I so instantly satisfy your hatred? How to reach someone who is so heavily guarded? I've hardly arrived in Epirus. I'm unknown, but you ask for an empire to be overthrown, call for a king to be killed, and demand his death within a day, within the hour, within a breath. To overpower him with so many around, we have to draw him away to remoter ground. But enough talking. All that is left to decide is the perfect location for this regicide. By tomorrow, I swear, he'll be dead and buried.
But by then, Andromache and he will be married. Why delay further? It will never be less hard. He's going to the wedding without bodyguards, who've all been sent to ensure Hector's son's protected, letting my avenger approach him undetected. You can't care more for his life than he himself does. Arm the Greeks with you and all of my followers. He has betrayed me, cheated you, and they won't pardon even a king who's chosen to marry a Trojan. Say the word. I swear they won't let him get away from your sword, or you can let their long-stored fury slay him for you. Kill or let kill. Lead or go in later. Either way, return stained with the blood of the traitor. And when you are, you can be certain of my love.
But, lady, think.
No! No, no, we have thought enough. Your thinking begins to make my rage feel uneasy. I was hoping I'd found the means for you to please me and make Orestes happy, but it seems, in fact, Orestes only ever wants to whine, not act. Go, then. Go somewhere else to make love to your conscience and leave me alone to take charge of my own vengeance. I am sick of always being the one who has no say, and I've suffered enough rejection for one day. I will go alone to the temple for their wedding, to the place you won't dare to go to do my bidding. There... I'll find a way to reach my enemy's side. I will pierce the heart that I have long been denied before I turn the knife upon myself, forever fusing the two fates he has sought so hard to sever. And for all the ill he's done, it will still be true that it's sweeter to die with him than live with you.
No. I must deprive you of your morbid enjoyment. Only Orestes is endorsed for this employment. Only I'm allowed to destroy your enemies. After, you can reward my service as you please.
Go on, then.
Hand your destiny for me to shape and ensure your men are ready for our escape.
You will be ruined, madam. Wouldn't it be better?
Ruined or not, revenge is the only thing that matters. I still don't know. For all his promises and sermons, if there is anyone but me I can depend on. How can he feel Pyrrhus's abuse like I do? And if not, how can his blows ever be as true? Why should I, why would I deny myself the raptures of my revenge? My hand drawn back, stained with the traitor's blood and multiplying his pain and my delight by standing there, denying them any last sight of each other. At least Orestes must make certain he dies knowing it was I planned his execution. Go and call him. Unless Pyrrhus knows it is my hate that has sentenced him to death, me and not the state, the whole thing is pointless. And my revenge is nothing.
I'll go after him at once. But look, the king's come.
Then run, Cleone. You must find Orestes. He must do nothing more before he's spoken to me.
You weren't expecting us, lady. And our intrusion here unannounced has broken off your conversation. I haven't come armed with elaborate excuses, a veil with which to cover over my abuses of you. I'm condemned already by my own conscience, and I cannot sustain what can't have any substance. I am marrying a Trojan. And yes, it's true, the vows I'll swear to her are those I swore to you. Some might suggest that as it was upon the field of battle, without us there, that our fathers sealed our marriage contract, and as we were not consulted, love can have played no part in the bonds that resulted. But for myself, I can't claim that I ever demurred. I sent ambassadors to you to pledge my word, seeking to bind and not to break my father's promise. I saw you when they first brought you into this palace. Even though by then the irresistible draw of another's eyes had usurped the power of yours, I resolved that I would renounce my upstart passion, swore I'd make fidelity to you my obsession, so received you as my queen, and until this hour I have hoped my promise could subdue love's power. But love has swept it away, and the fitful fates have won for Andromache a heart that she hates. And now, each dragging along the other, we hurtle to the altar despite ourselves, there to swear immortal love. I've said my bit. Go on. Blast my deceit. For despite my regrets, I've still chosen to be a cheat. I won't try to stop you. Just give vent to your grief. For me, for both of us, it would be a relief. Cry every word hurled at liars, traitors, tyrants. Your insults hold no fear for me, only your silence. And my heart, where 100,000 furies shriek, accuses me the more the longer you don't speak.
I'm pleased. By choosing to confess without excuses, you have at least tried to do your abuses justice. Because when you chose to undo what you had sworn, you took to treachery as to the manner born. Why, having ignored duty and Jews and devotion, else seek out a Greek when you've fallen for a Trojan? You love me not, you love me, so you alter between the widow of Hector and Helen's daughter, now the princess and now the slave. You capture Troy for the Greeks, then you'll sell out Greece for Hector's boy. Here's a hero, ladies, who takes orders from no one, who couldn't even be called his own honour's bondsman. Do you need to do this to fuel your bride's desire? Is she aroused by my calling you a cheat and liar? Are you? Come to have a last look at my raw red eyes before you can leap laughing into her bed. Let me be bridesmaid. I'll sob into my bouquet. Or is that too much pleasure for you for one day? And why are you looking for any more new titles beyond all the ones you've already gained in battle? From Hector's good old father Priam, hacked to death in front of his family, wheezing his last breath at their feet, while your sword ploughed his chest to set flowing the last few dribbles of life age had not yet frozen.
Lady, I'm very aware how my eagerness to avenge your mother drove me on to excess. So I might well reproach you for the lives I've taken. But let's both agree to leave the past unawakened. The nonchalance that you've shown to my engagement. Thank heaven has given me some encouragement. I see my heart's been concerning itself too much. I should have known you better and would have better judged. In fact, my remorse does you an immense injustice. For if I was never loved, how can I be faithless? You never sought to capture me, although you could. I thought I'd wronged you, but perhaps I've done you good, because our two hearts weren't fashioned to be entwined. You were doing your duty, and I obeying mine. And loving me was never part of your intention.
Not love you! What could I have done to get your attention? Princes proposed to me and I didn't respond, but you, I followed here to the back of beyond, and here I remain still, despite your double dealing, despite the shame at my shame my people are feeling. I told them, I ordered them to mask their concern, play dumb while I waited the prodigal's return, convinced you would revert to me later or sooner, your heart would have to come home to its rightful owner. I have loved you, false as you are. What if you'd been true? For even now, at the very moment when you are so calmly standing there telling me it's finished, you shit, I fear my love for you is undiminished. But sir, if that's it, if the angry gods above have chosen someone else to be the one you love, you should marry her. With my consent, all I request is you don't insist on my presence there as a witness. Listen. These could be the last words you hear me say. Marry her tomorrow. Delay it by one day. Well? Will you? Nothing. Oh, but I can see you, bastard. Every moment you spend with me is a moment wasted. You are itching to get back to your Trojan bitch! And you can't tolerate any conversation which distracts you from her. Your heart, eyes, desire, no other. So, run away. I won't detain you any further. Go on. Go and pledge her the vows that once were mine. You go and make a mockery of the divine. The gods are just and will well remember they are the same sacred oaths that bound us together. So bear your cheating heart to the altar and swear. Go on. But pray you don't see Hermione there.
You heard her words, sir. You cannot simply pass over the threat of such a furious and vengeful lover. There are too many around here who'll take her side. Her motives and the Greeks are too closely allied. Orestes loves her still, and she may well enjoy...
Andromache awaits. Phoenix, protect the boy.
Feverish expectation here outside the temple as the crowds assemble to greet the happy couple. To end a day unlike anyone's seen, Epirus will soon have first sight of her new queen.
Where am I? What have I done? And what is there still to do? What's this ache that devours me, this thrill that grips me? The shit dismissed me without sorrow, without pity, without a scrap, even a borrowed look of regret. Did I see him troubled once? The whole time I talked, I wept. One murmur, one glance that showed he felt. Dumb to my sighs, numb to my pain. No sign he thought he was in any way to blame. And yet I pity him. And what is worse, my heart, my stupid, cowardly, craven heart, takes his part. I tremble just to think of the fate that awaits him. And plotting revenge, I seek to exonerate him. No. The sentence I have passed cannot be unsaid. Let him die. To me, he's already good as dead. He ridicules my rage, glorying in his power, imagining this tempest will dissolve in showers of tears that my heart, so pathetic and permitting, will instruct one hand to prevent the other hitting. He thinks of me as just the girl who simpers sweetly. Or rather thinks of something, someone else completely. Standing in triumph at the altar, he won't care if I am wishing him dead or alive somewhere. This is what the bastard's done to me. I'm racked. No, there is still a way. Orestes will act. let him perish. He can't not know that it's appointed. His every action's been impelling me to want it. Want it? So is it me who's giving the order? His death is the result of Hermione's ardour. This prince whose deeds my heart once upon a time would love to rehearse over and over again, who'd long, long before this wretched marriage was projected, been the husband that I had secretly selected. And have I come across so many seas, the breadth of the earth so far, simply to effect his death, to murder him, destroy him? Ugh! Before they shatter. Cleone. What have I done? Tell me! What's the matter? What's Pyrrhus doing?
Pyrrhus is in heaven above. The proudest man upon the earth and the deepest in love. I saw him at the head of the wedding procession, a conqueror leading his latest acquisition to the temple, eyes radiating hope and bliss, drunk upon the idea that she's finally his, while she, Andromache, amid the cries of joy, cannot eliminate her memories of Troy. She shows no trace of love or hate, nor does she falter, but silently, obediently, goes to the altar.
And him? Will he really go through with this disgrace? Cleone, were you somewhere you could see his face? Was there anything but pleasure in his expression? Did you see his eyes turn at all in this direction? Tell me, do you think he might have seen you in the crush? If he did, if he recognised you, did he blush? Was there any sign his betrayal caused him any trouble at all? Or is he happy floating in his bubble?
Madam, he's blind. To his safety, his repute combined, with any thought of you, gone. Vanished from his mind. Aside from the wedding, he has only one thought. Hector's boy, whom he has sent under Phoenix escort to a fortress far from either palace or temple, the whole royal bodyguard at his disposal. Nothing else seems to trouble his rapture today.
Traitor. He will die. What did Orestes say?
He's with his Greeks, waiting inside the temple door.
They're preparing to avenge me.
I can't be sure.
You can't... Him too! Is there no man who'll keep his promise? Orestes is a traitor too!
You are his goddess. But there is too much else he's at the mercy of. Racked by remorse, torn between duty and love. He reveres Pyrrhus because of his royal status. He reveres Pyrrhus for Achilles and for Pyrrhus. He fears Greece, that he'll become a monster for many. But it is himself, he says, he fears more than any. He knows to bring you the king's head will gain your favour. But that one word, murderer, causes him to waver. He went inside, but even he's not certain if he'll leave there as a guest or as a fugitive.
No, no, he'll stand by and watch them triumph. I know Orestes isn't one to interrupt a show. I know the pangs that make his courage disappear. He's frightened of death. That's his one and only fear. Oh, God! Without her even needing to implore, my mother had the whole of Greece going to war for her. 20 kings who'd never set eyes upon her once spent 10 years fighting and dying for her honour. But me? The death of one traitor, that's all I ask. I have a lover ready to accept the task. I make myself the reward for its execution. Myself, me. And still, I can get no retribution. Come on. It's clear the only justice I'll get is if I go there myself to collect the debt, set the temple vault echoing with cries of grief, and ensure any union they make is brief. I will show no discrimination in my chaos. Anyone, even Orestes, could be Pyrrhus. I'll die. But I will have made my revenge my own, at least. And as I die, I will not die alone. Come on!
It's done. Hermione, exactly as you asked, Pyrrhus lies before the altar, breathing his last.
He is dead.
Dying. And our Greeks, united in your good, have washed away his corruption with his own blood. I swore to you I'd do it. And though I was haunted by what this conspiracy might unleash, undaunted I ran towards the temple, where our Greeks had crept in amongst the throng, right up to the altar step. Pyrrhus saw me. There was no change in his expression.
His hauteur seemed rather to increase than to lessen, as if the flouting of Greece's ambassador would elevate his wedding's grandeur even more, so that by the time he took the crown, he was glowing. And he placed it on her brow himself before crowing. I give you my crown and heart, Andromache, to reign over Epirus and rule over me. I promise I will show your son a father's kindness, swear it to his mother, calling all the gods as witness. I embrace as mine all enemies of this boy, whom I acclaim today the rightful king of Troy. The approval these words drew from the congregation was drowned by our supporters' howls of consternation. As they fell upon the king from every side, I could not reach to strike him which way I tried. They were all mad for the prize of his execution. I glimpsed him once or twice, crimson in the profusion of hands and blows, which he fought to flee or repel, until staggering towards the altar, he fell. I slipped between the once loud crowd, now stunned and speechless, to reach your quarters and to carry off my princess down to the quayside, there to await our friends who are coming, covered in the blood I promised you.
What have they done?
You have to excuse their impatience. I see they've betrayed the spirit of your vengeance. I know you wanted his death blow dealt by my hand, him to know as he died at your command. But it was my fervor they took for their example. You were the sole reason I'd led them to the temple, Hermione, and you can rightfully call yours a death which, though they executed, you're the cause, as surely as if your hand...
Silence! Traitor! Don't try to deny you are the sole perpetrator. Go and see if your Greeks will commend your bloodlust. Go on! I disown it. You fill me with disgust. What have you done, you... inhuman! What kind of frenzied mania drove you to cut the thread of so splendid a life? Barbarians! How is it you could slay this hero and your own blood not rise up to stay your hands, but speak? By what right were you made his judge? Why butcher him? What was his crime? What was the grudge? Who ordered you to?
Gods! What? Who gave me the order? You. Yourself, here. For who else would I commit murder?
Did you believe the ranting of a frantic lover? Couldn't you see beneath to what my rage might cover? And couldn't you observe my frenzy and discern how my heart belied my mouth at every turn? And supposing I meant it, shouldn't you make sure? Get me to repeat it 100 times or more, and before you struck, come back and check again whether you should, or better still, avoid me altogether. Why couldn't you let me undertake my own vengeance? Why did you come somewhere where no one sought your presence? This is the putrefying fruit of your affection, and you have given me your bastard Lux infection. Your mission here has been catastrophic for us both. That was what caused Pyrrhus to disregard his oath, choose her, when with time he might have come to profess true love for me, maybe, at least pretended less. Adieu. You can leave. I'm not going any farther. Epirus is my home. I renounce Greece and Sparta, my family, and anything which ties me to a monstrous aberration of mankind like you.
What do I see? Was that Hermione? She said... Then whom was it spilled for? This blood I just shed. I'm, if she's right, a traitor. A man who killed a king. Is Pyrrhus dead? Am I Orestes still? What? I have let my heart smother the light of reason. I revered this king and I've become his assassin. In one night, I violated the laws which govern rulers, govern ambassadors, every human. My violence has polluted a sacred altar. I've become a parasite, killer, desecrator, and for who? For a bitch to whom I swore that I would. who wouldn't even glance at me while Pyrrha stood, whose fury I married, but having had her whim serviced, now she requires that I unmurder him. She loves him, and I am just the monster of her spite, and she is gone, far and forever from my sight, and the bitch's parting gesture is to confer on me all the evil I've earned by serving her.
It's time for us to go, sir. We have to leave, save ourselves, or resolve to make this palace our grave. Our Greeks hold the gates at present, but can't much longer. The throng of people coming is greater and stronger than we are. The mob bows before Andromache. They treat her as their queen, and we're the enemy. Herself, who so persecuted Pyrrhus in life, with his deaths turned into his ever-loving wife. Bent upon vengeance, I believe she means to make us pay the price both for Troy's destruction and for Hector's. Let's go! We can't sit here and wait till we're surrounded. Our Greeks will rejoin us, but while the mob is crowded around Hermione, our escape route is clear. This is the way. We will be safe enough through here.
No, I must follow Hermione. She's passed sentence on me. I must not live any longer. Repentance is pointless. I committed the crime. I'm resigned.
Hermione! Put Hermione from your mind! How much longer will you be enthralled to her hatred? What new insult can you gain among the departed? Because she's dead, you do not need to die also.
She's dead? Oh, God. What do you mean?
You didn't know? Ah. As we hurried back to you here, we passed her, making her way towards the temple, distracted and shaking. She encountered Pyrrhus, carried upon the shoulders of soldiers who were eager to avenge his murder. At this sorry sight, her fury must have been touched, because we could see her, from the gate where we watched, reach over him before she pulled a knife from her gown, raised her eyes to heaven, stabbed herself, and fell down. Thanks, gods.
My misery exceeds my expectation. Yes? I admire you up there for your application. Under your punitive and conscientious care, I have attained to the very summit of despair. Your hatred has shaped my mishaps with such enjoyment. I must have been conceived solely for the deployment of your thunderbolts. So, your power can be believed. Well, I can die content. My destiny's achieved. Where are these two dead lovers? If I am to crown my joys, I must drown in their blood and in my own. In death, I want us to gaze upon one another, three hearts joined that in life could not beat together. But why is the darkness beginning to thicken? Where is it coming from? And why does my heart quicken? Shivering. Some horror grips me. I can hardly see. Gods! What are these streams of blood coiling around me?
Oh, sir!
What? Pyrrhus, do we meet again once more? Everywhere I look, the rival I bore, pierced through with so many wounds. Why are you not dying? Take that! And that! This is the blow that I've been trying. Hermione. She is enfolding him in her arms. Has she come back? Has she come to snatch him from harm? Gods, the way she glares at me, the bitter ache in her eyes, the demons, the serpents in her wake. Daughters of Hell, are you preparing room? For whom? The snakes that are hissing around your heads. Whose doom are they? Who's it to get? The retinue that follows? Have you come to take me into the shadows? I yield to you. Orestes is yours. Back, sisters. It must be by Hermione's claws. For the bitch knows best, knows better than any beast, how to tear men apart. Here's my heart. Let her feast.
He's fainted. All of you, we have to make haste. His faint's an opportunity we mustn't waste. Somehow, he has to be got to safety. But our saving him's in vain. If when he recovers, he's still raving.
In Andromache by Jean Racine, translated by Edward Kemp. Orestes was played by Joel McCormack. Hermione by Susanna Fielding. Pyrrhus by Alex Lanipekin. And Andromache by Tanya Moody. Pylades was Gunnar Cawthery. Phoenix, Raad Rawi. Cleone, Rosie Hilal. And Safisa, Mia Soteriu. The director was Jeremy Mortimer. Andromache was a cast iron radio production for BBC Radio 3.
And there are plenty more editions of Drama on 3 on the Radio 3 website.
On BBC Radio 4, Evan Davis presents The Bottom Line.
They all give up some sovereignty. I mean, you're handing over power to international arbitration panels.
A bilateral trade agreement, you're certainly handing sovereignty of